Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Turnover, Baller at the other end. Defense to offense, transition, timeout. The Boston Celtics and the lead for Miami grows.
And that lead became insurmountable as the Miami Heat ended the Boston Celtics run at an NBA title Monday night in front of a stunned TD Garden crowd. So the Seas almost made history by becoming the NBA's first team ever to win a series after trailing 3-0 in the playoffs, but they didn't. And the questions over that agonizing loss, was it Jason Tatum's injury in the opening minutes? Was it the team's failure to hit their first 12 three-pointers? Was it Joe Mazzulla's stubborn coaching? Was it the Heat's inspired play? Those kinds of questions have marked the first few days of an unwelcome offseason. The one that seems to have been answered, it does look like Joe Mazzulla will be back with the Boston Celtics next year. So now what? Here to talk about it, Abby Chin, Celtics reporter for NBC Sports Boston. Abby, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
So you were there.
I was.
Yeah. So the atmosphere sounded electric at the Garden. Start of the game, all the momentum feels like it's on the Celtics' side. And then in the first few seconds, we get this.
Tatum won the fire in the lane, crashing into Vincent. And he twisted an ankle, perhaps. He did. The left one.
Tatum gets hurt. It seems pretty clear he stays hurt throughout the game. There are those who argue that's what happened in Game 7. From your perspective, is that what happened in Game 7?
That was the impetus, I think, for what happened in Game 7. I was on the opposite side of the floor and didn't see his ankle and the way it bent. And I just kept saying, get up, Jason, get up. And with he's not a guy who experiences a lot of traumatic injuries. And so the fact that he stayed down so long is clear that there was something wrong. And Jaylen Brown told us afterwards his ankle was swelling immediately. And then Jaylen, of course, tried to do too much. It's clear that's exactly what happened. And then once he couldn't get it done and the shots weren't falling, it's clear the entire team got disappointed and they let that affect the rest of their play. I mean, the difference between the team this season and a year ago, the one that did make it to the NBA Finals, is that their identity was on the defensive end of the floor. And we have seen in these playoffs that is what got them back into the series against the Miami Heat, coming back from that 0-3 hole, but it just wasn't enough to get them through to Game 7.
So, Abby, I'm going to add a second voice here. ESPN senior writer Howard Bryant is joining us. Hey there, Howard.
Hi, Shanna. How are you?
I'm good. It's great to have you. You were there.
Hi, Abby.
Hello.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I can hear it, Howard. Okay, you were there. What's your view of what the story of that night was?
Well, of that night, Abby's 100% correct. I think that you have something. Everything's on your side. It's all momentum. It's all energy. And then you get hit with an injury. And the Celtics have seen this before. If you're an old head, you remember John Havlicek being injured in 1973 against the Knicks, and then you just lose your will. And I think that's sort of what happened. And Miami's a relentless team. They are a nonstop team. People spend so much time talking about the Celtics, the Celtics, the Celtics, and the unfinished business of the Celtics. Let's talk a little bit about the hunger of the Miami Heat. They lost in the finals in 2020 in the bubble. They got beat in the first round the year after that. They lost on their home floor to the Celtics the year after that on a, you know, one shot from Jimmy Butler that could have gone in and taken them to the finals last year against the Warriors. So this team was every bit as hungry and every bit as motivated, not only to win, but to beat the Celtics. And I think that the Celtics, in addition to the identity things that the identity questions that Abby is talking about, I think this team also didn't quite accept or understand that it's a two-pronged challenge. The other teams want you as much as you wanted your championship. They were hungry to beat the Celtics as well.
Very hungry. And that's something that Jimmy Butler made very clear from Game 1 of that series, is that that has stuck with them, the way that they lost in Miami to a team that they had almost beaten. And Jimmy Butler, as we saw throughout that series, just has that will that he has carried this team through the playoffs, and he was not finished yet. And that, you're right, Howard, is something that I think a lot of fans may not come to grips with. And I don't want to say that he wanted it more than the Celtics, because I don't believe that's the truth. But when you have a matching of wills like that, it is the smallest margin for error, and the Celtics, well, I mean, couldn't.
Exactly.
Came up
and
short.
That's right. And we laugh all the time about the NBA on TNT guys and everything, but Shaquille O'Neal said something. You know, you were working, you were on the court, so you're not listening to these guys, but I was home watching it. And Shaq said something after one of the games in, it might have been game six, where he just said, the Celtics are too cool for me. And I think that taking on that challenge, they need more grit. They were up against it. And for all the talk about Grant Williams poking the bear against Jimmy Butler in game two, and I was at that game as well, that's not really what's happening. The Celtics issue is a toughness issue, and it's also a tactical issue. Their offense is far too three-point dependent. When they win big, they're unbeatable. But when they don't hit, they're a 500 team, and you just go ask Mike D'Antoni. You cannot live that much and dive that much on a very low percentage shot. And I think that if you look at Jason Tatum specifically, when you're taking him and Jimmy Butler and comparing them side by side, the one thing about Jimmy Butler's offense is that he is constantly attacking the Miami Heat. They're a great team because they score so many points when the clock's not moving, because those guys go to the foul line, except last night. But the Celtics need more grit. They need more toughness, and they need to play better offense.
So
they're a boom and bust team.
I'm glad you said that, Howard, because it gives me a chance to ask the two of you a whole bunch of stuff now in the offseason that I want to ask. And we're speaking with Howard Bryan of ESPN and Abby Chin, who's the Celtics reporter for NBC Sports Boston. This isn't the order I was going to do this in, but it's the order I'm going to do it in now. So Brad Stevens gives a press conference. We'll come back to the fact that it looks like he's going to keep Joe Mazzulla in a minute. But he had this sort of zen approach in this presser about the offseason focus for the Celtics, basically saying they just kind of need to keep working on the list. Little things. Here's some sound from that.
I have no doubt within the character of our group that we'll do that. That's what these guys have always been about, and they've always done that. And then, you know, we'll always look at how do we best, evaluate our roster and make the small tweaks that maybe can put you over the top.
So, Abby, I immediately thought of that when Howard talked about the Celtics being cool, right? This is not Charlie Baker's hair on fire moment, right, about the MBTA. And I know there are a lot of people out there who want to hear from the Celtics right now that their hair is on fire, but maybe that's not the right attitude. And I'm not in that room, right? I don't know what's going on in the locker room, but you're kind of around there, so I want your take.
Well, you heard it from Brad. The Celtics are not an organization that are going to react over one playoff series that did not go their way. And overall, and that was Brad Stevens' message yesterday, is that you can't deny the success that this team did have. 57 wins, that was second best in the NBA. Once again, reaching the Eastern Conference Finals for the fourth time in 6 years, and just one win away from making it back to the NBA Finals. And I know that this is Boston, and anything short of banner number 18 is a failure. But when you're operating within a league where there are certain CBA requirements as far as how much you can play players and what is available and the amount of talent that's out there, the frustration comes because the Celtics, they know it and the fans know it. They are the most talented team in the NBA. So to come up short is absolutely a failure, but it's not a matter of if you can't just tweak one thing, and I know the fans are in a uproar. Joe Mazzulla needs to be fired. Trade away Jaylen Brown. But that is not going to get you back to the point that you are, unless you have solutions, which I am open to hearing. There is no fail-proof solution that is just out there right in front of you for Brad Stevens to take and do tomorrow.
So, Howard, let's build on that, and I'm going to give a little more sound. It does appear that Brad Stevens is going to keep Joe Mazzulla. He's asked yesterday point blank if Mazzulla was the best coach for the team. Here's his answer.
I think he is. And I thought he, again, did a really good job with this group. He's a terrific leader. He can learn from this year because he's constantly trying to learn. And he's accountable. When you can show all those through the expectations and the microscope that he was under, that's hard to do.
And then I think I need to add that Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe drops an article in the early morning hours this morning that he's been speaking with Danny Ainge of, you know, Celtics fame, who's now at the Utah Jazz, who says he thinks people in the Celtics organization think that Joe Mazzulla is a better coach than the Ime Udoka he replaced. So, you know, just pick it up and reflect, Howard.
Yeah, I couldn't disagree more with all of that. And I know, Abby, you're in the room, and so I have a ton of respect for that as well. But I can tell you, I don't believe that what the Celtics went through was losing one series and reacting to one series. The Celtics have a pattern. They've had a pattern for two seasons now, and that pattern, and yes, they have done incredible things after Jason Tatum. Let's not forget they had a fourth quarter lead against LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers back in 2018. They've been close, but they do have a pattern, and their pattern is that, number one, even going back into last year, they lack grit. This is the worst championship-level home team I've ever seen in my life. In terms of, you protect your home court in the NBA. The NBA is a best player win sport. If you've got those dudes, if you've got Tim Duncan, if you've got Michael Jordan, if you've got Larry Bird, if you've got that guy, you win. And the Celtics have incredible lapses at home. You look at them last season. They make things very, very difficult for themselves. And last year, they ran out of gas. The only team that the Celtics have really, really given you that 100% focus on was the Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant Nets. They got up for that team. They played full on against that team. And the other teams, seven game series, lose pivotal game fives at home, lose the Jimmy Butler game last year. They had an elimination game in Boston. Jimmy Butler scored 47 on them. On your home court, they are lacking that certain bit of toughness. And this team, yes, Abby, this team was a 57-win team, and I don't say this lightly. This team was a 65-win. They gave so many games away because there's a great piece in The Athletic today really breaking down their offense. They are incredibly three-shot heavy, and when you were that dependent on that shot, then the Celtics hit 40% or better during the season. They were 31-1. When they didn't, they were 26-24. So essentially, for 50 games of your season, you're a 500 team. They are too dependent. If you watched the game last night with Denver, Denver shot 29% from three, but they shot 50% for the game because they only took 29 threes. The Celtics took 77 three-pointers in the final two games of the season. They only made 16.
So, Howard, I do want to push back on that this is a group that doesn't have toughness and grit, because I think that that was exemplified. It's exemplified every time their backs are against the wall that they are able to come through. And we saw that in battling back from that 0-3 hole in the series Miami. And so to me, it's not a toughness thing. To me, it is. And I don't disagree with you. There are mental lapses. And that is something to me that speaks to maturity. And it's something we did see. We've seen the better part of both of these last two seasons, whether it was Ime Udoka, who was the head coach, or whether it was Joe Mazzulla. And Howard, you can speak to this better than I can. The primes for players in the NBA are once they are about 27, 28, 29 years old. LeBron James didn't win his first NBA Finals until he was 28, 29 years old. And think about how many heartbreaking disappointments he had up until that point. Exactly. Agreed. That is my point. I agree with you that there have been lapses, and that definitely the players and everyone inside that building knows that they need to improve. But it's not a matter of blowing this thing up and making major changes.
So wait. I've got 60 seconds left. Okay. So what I think I'm hearing from the two of you is, whatever else we think, your view is, do not break up Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, which is the next question. Is that correct?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, you're not going to get that sort of value back. And I think the only reason I would have moved Mazzulla is because I think you have to play with defense. And I agree with Abby. Do not break it up.
And Abby, so you agree, don't break it up?
No, they have two homegrown top 10 players in the NBA who play both ways and who care and have grown within your organization.
And would you both agree, you know, one sentence answer, do beef up the coaching staff under Joe Mazzulla? Howard?
Yeah, I'm not a Mazzulla fan.
I don't think you have any choice. They were already three assistant coaches down. There's no question that staff could use some more support.
Okay, can I just say how much I loved this conversation? Oh my God, so great. Abby Chin, Celtics reporter, NBC Sports Boston. Howard Bryant, ESPN senior writer, student at your knee, Tiziana Deering here, saying thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.